Okay, we're going to take your phone calls this hour with Brent Miller. Also, we'll check in on the Horizon Project model, which indicates how this will happen in sequence next. Brent, let's talk about the Horizon Project model now and how it indicates what will happen and in the sequence it will happen.
All right. We discussed a number of points in it, and so let me just go over it very briefly. The very first thing we said would happen as we approach this, imagine the solar system. It's not just the Earth. It's a solar system moving into a gravitational wave. And the further it goes into it, the denser the wave becomes and the more effect it affects the planet and the solar system. So it's not a paper-thin wave. It has width, and it takes about 20 years to go through. So we started moving through it in 1998. The very first thing we would expect is that a kind of a gripping effect would happen on the planet Earth, and we saw the effect of that from the Chandler wobble stopping. The Earth stopped its normal 15-meter diameter wobble every year, where the north and south poles were no longer rotating around a cycle of 15 meters in a circle each year.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing we knew that the oceans, it would pull on the poles and create friction, and that would heat up the bottom of the oceans, which we've seen. That would increase the temperatures, causing tremendous weather anomalies, and we're going to see more.
And not just from volcanic activity underwater, right?
No. We're talking just very, very slight friction. You know, we're so slight. We're talking a fraction of a degree. You know, like 0.2, 0.3 degrees. That's it. So we're not talking about eruptions or volcanoes causing it. We're just talking about the inner, the mantle of the Earth being rubbing against the crust of the Earth, causing more friction between the two of them, which is below the oceans and below the surface of the Earth. So this increases the weather temperature, which dramatically affects the weather on this planet, as we see. And we've seen in the last 3 to 4 years, the weather anomalies are getting worse and worse.
Mm-hmm.
We also see that the CO2 in the upper atmosphere is going through the roof, which our model expects because of the amount of CO2 seawater holds. All you need is to raise it a very small amount temperature-wise, and it releases a tremendous amount of CO2 in the atmosphere. After all, 70% of our planet is covered by ocean water. While this is going on, we expect to see greater and more frequency of earthquakes. And if you go to that chart is absolutely amazing. There is no data.
That's at thehorizonproject.com.
Right, at thehorizonproject.com, if you click on the news link at the top and look at the first link, no data was extracted. The chart was not manipulated in any way. It is pulling real-time data from the USGS and graphing it. You can see it graphing it for you in real time, and it is amazing their own data. They cannot hide the fact that the number of earthquakes is shooting through the roof worldwide with a very large earthquakes, level 6 and above. This will continue, by the way, as we get closer to the center of the galactic plane. The number of earthquakes, the frequency and intensity will continue to increase, just like we predicted in the past, and we see it happening. One thing we did not expect was that we knew that the solar system would be affected, but we didn't really focus on the sun itself. And we have noticed that the sun's heliosphere has dropped 25% since the starting of this passage. Just like the Earth has a kind of a protective shield around it that's due to its magnetic field that protects it from the solar wind of the sun itself, the solar wind radiates particles that emanate spherically around our entire solar system beyond the orbit of Pluto. This shield effectively protects us from the interstellar radiation. Now, in the last 10 years, since we started entering in the galactic plane, the heliosphere of the sun has dropped 25%. If it continues
to
drop,
that's dramatic.
It's massive. In fact, NASA is worried about it. They are seriously worried. 2 weeks ago, on October 19th, they launched an IBEX satellite, an Interstellar Boundary Explorer satellite, just to investigate this phenomenon because they don't know what to think. If it continues to decrease, the solar radiation between the outside of our solar system could effectively reach intense levels within our solar system, potentially hitting Earth. And so it is causing concern for them, enough of a concern for them to launch a satellite just to investigate just this one phenomenon. As we continue, the next thing, unfortunately, we expect, and I say it's unfortunate because there's no other precursor type events, is the pole shift itself. We're going to get to a point in time where the pressure of the gravitational plane on the Earth's poles as it rotates is going to be great enough where it will cause the geographic shift of the poles of the Earth. When that happens, even though it's minor cosmologically, to us, it's devastating. Huge. Everybody on the coast will, of course, be better off if they were inland. We will lose technology immediately. Basically, all electricity will stop. Our model anticipates a series of electromagnetic pulses, which will effectively render all electronics on the planet useless. Generators, cars, power plants. So we'll basically be thrown into the dark ages overnight. There will be no longer any such thing as airplanes flying or ocean-going vessels. We would then expect the possibility, because the Earth's protective shields are down from the magnetic, the fields that protect the Earth right now due to the magnetic field of the Earth, protecting us from the solar winds, because those are down, we would expect that it is possible that the Earth could be hit by massive solar emissions. Prophecy tells us this will happen, as we mentioned a little bit ago. And as we move through the galactic plane itself, through the dark rift, we expect to be bombarded by small meteorites and then finally large meteorites. Potentially, one would be large enough and hit us at such an angle as to alter the spin rate of the planet as well. And prophecy, ironically, tells us those things are going to happen. And of course, as we emerge out the other side, what would we expect to find? We expect to find a world that has no food, no technology, and everyone is scampering to try to survive.
That's a scary outcome, Brent.
But this is where prophecy even continues, ironically. It talks about our social structure and what we will do afterward. It talks about a massive war. It refers to as Armageddon that will be fought in at the basically where the three... The three crossroads of the Earth meet, Europe, Africa, and Asia, where they all come together in that plane. It talks about an army that will muster 200 million men. China right now boasts that they can create an army of 200 million men overnight. But you know what? This war won't be because people just decide to go to war. It will be for pure survival. We have no technology. We have no food. We have no ability to get food or transport it. Your only option is to take it. And so Armageddon, in fact, will probably be a war of necessity for survival.
Yeah.
In fact, you know, when I said earlier that I believe the governments of the world know what's going to happen, I do believe that wholeheartedly. We know that certain rulers, in our opinion, are crazy, and I won't say why, but... let's take the president of Iran. About a year and a half ago, he made a public statement that he didn't care what the United States wanted in regards to him stopping his nuclear proliferation program and research because, and I quote, he needed to get ready for Armageddon, unquote. So, you know, I believe the governments of the world know what's going to happen, and each in their own way is preparing for these events. And unfortunately, the people who are left in the dark are the common person that just goes to work every day hoping that tomorrow will be the same as the day before. I am painting a very grim picture, but it does look, and I feel, you know, wholeheartedly that unfortunately this is going to happen. All the scientific evidence does point to this happening, and then when you combine that with prophecy, and they dovetail almost perfectly, I mean, it's just too much to overlook.
All right, let's go take some calls, Brent, and we'll continue chatting here as well. Let's go to our west of the Rockies line, Will, driving around in Colorado. Go ahead, Will.
The Honorable George Norrie.
Well, sometimes.
First of all, Brent, I want to commend you on your work.
Oh, thank you, Will.
Last week, I had what I can only explain as a spiritual revelation, and it mirrors everything you're saying. All these crazy puzzle pieces that I've been dragging around with me my whole life fell into place within a matter of 15 minutes that rocked me so hard that I'm still in shock, basically. It's the only thing I can think of. My family members think I'm crazy, but I just want to let everyone know that they need to take, hey, I'm not religious, but they really need to take the Bible at face value and more literal than they've ever thought. And one more thing, it's not a coincidence that the Bush family just purchased 98,000 acres in Paraguay. Y'all have a good night. And Brett, thanks a lot, okay? I mean, this is the most important information that we need this information now, and this is the most important thing out there. Thank you.
You're quite welcome, Will. We'll do our best to continue to provide it.
Is there a way out here, Brent, for us? I mean, what can we do?
There's no dodge to the bullet. It's going to happen, as I said before. And in fact, we feel far more strongly now because of all the things we said would going to happen per our model, and they have been happening over the last year and a half. And there's just no way out. On an individual level, I do believe there are ways out. Prophecies do talk about ways out. Prophecies do talk about what to expect, and that is why we're now refocusing the entire research teams to in-depthly, study prophecy. Mm-hmm. This is why we took a trip to the Middle East, why we spent time there. We are looking at ancient scrolls, documents. I mean, this is where thousands and thousands have been discovered. This is, some of the most ancient documents on the planet. We're still researching every day, and we are going to have more information available. On an individual level, yes, and we will make that information available as we find it. But as far as the planet, no, I don't believe we're going to dodge the bullet. I believe that it's going to happen exactly as we indicated it would.
Well, let's go east of the Rockies, William in Birmingham, Alabama. Hi, William.
Hi, George.
Hey.
I absolutely love the show. I listen to it every night.
Thank you.
Brent, I just want to say, man, wow, you're really, really hitting home tonight. And I wanted to go back to the Mayan prophecy. I know you don't have it in front of you, but you paraphrased it earlier about how you thought that somewhere around that date they had put, December 21st, 2012,
right?
That there would be some kind of cosmic portal that would open and souls would be harvested.
Right. The Christian religion, they refer to a rapture, even though the word rapture doesn't actually exist anywhere in the Bible. It's more of a taking away, a snatching away is where they come up with the word rapture. But, other religions refer to the same sort of event.
Uh-huh.
But we do have some quantum physicists that, on the team who describe, basically physics that might happen. But, of course, this is way beyond our ken. We're basically, without trying to be demeaning, we're just simple humans. We don't understand, a lot of this.
So right.
We can just quote what prophecy says and take it for what it is, because we know that in the past it has been so precise. And it matches what we have concluded science will show. So we're still looking into more of this and have more information available as it comes.
Okay. I also wanted to see, this dark rift that you keep referring to, I wanted to know if you could elaborate on it at all in a completely layman's terms, because, this is just so far above my head, Mr. Miller.
Oh, no. It's actually, okay, I can make this very simple. If you look at our solar system, all right. Remember when you're taught in school about black holes?
Right.
All right. And if you move into a black hole, time stops.
Uh-huh.
And dimensions all stop. Light can't escape, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But what quantum physicists have discovered since we were in school, and I'm an old school kind of person, and is that black holes are not solid. The larger the black hole is, the faster it spins.
Uh-huh.
In fact, if you make it large enough, it becomes hollow on the inside, and so it's now a shell. It's like an eggshell. But the bigger it is, the faster it spins. And if it becomes what they refer to as supermassive, I mean, they could have picked a better name than that, but if it becomes a size that they refer to as a supermassive black hole, which is the center of every galaxy, it opens at the top and the bottom of its spin, and it actually flattens out to be a ribbon, and it is actually flat. It is no longer spherical. It's hollow on the inside, and it's a flat ribbon that spins. But its gravitational wave emanates as if it's a record on a flat plane. Now, the stars in our galaxy all follow that gravitational wave, and that gravitational wave has all the same gravitational properties as if it were the black hole itself. And our solar system is not only in one of the spiral arms of our Milky Way galaxy, moving around the Milky Way, the supermassive black hole, but our solar system is psychically moving above and below that gravitational wave. I'm referring to the gravitational wave as the dark rift. That's what the Mayans referred to it as. And they referred to it as the dark rift because some matter that did not have the kinetic energy to psychically move above and below it simply rests on it.
I think it's extraordinary, Brent, that these ancient civilizations would have this ability to foresee the future and also anticipate these events.
It is incredible. I mean, it's mind-boggling. Where did they get the information?
Man, that's something. Brent, the horizonproject.com continues,
yes.
Grows. Is it ever changing?
We have completely refocused our energies. Because of the length of time that's left, we've completely changed our focus from science, which we have now more than proven, into prophecy. Our total focus is now prophecy. In fact, we should have been combining prophecy with science from the beginning, but we wanted to keep it a purely scientific endeavor. But we have proven that 1,000 different ways that we now have to move into something what we feel is beyond science. And so we'll probably have more information. We know that the next two discs, the first disc that is available now is about pure science. The next two discs will be the merging of the science and prophecy. And, you know, we're still continuing to investigate.
When could this occur, this flip?
You know, we're not sure.
Anytime?
To be quietly honest, it could happen anytime, but most likely it will occur probably within a year preceding or following 2012. 2012 is the point at which the quantum physicists today did confirm and do confirm that the Mayans were accurate.
That's the target date. Stay with us.
That is the target date.
We're going to come back with final phone calls for you in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. On our next program, Jeffrey Seelman joins us. We're going to discuss his work with negative and demonic spirits. That's on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. Brent Miller with us. We're going to take some final calls here. Brent, you ready for some more?
Certainly.
Let's go to Ryan driving in California, first-time caller. Ryan, go ahead.
Hi, George. This is Ryan, obviously. I just had a question for Brent. Earlier, you talked about weather anomalies. And I was just wondering if they were going to ever be on scale like that movie Day After Tomorrow.
Well, of course, which was taken from the book of Art Bell and Whitley Strieber, The Coming Global Superstorm. Would it be like that, Brent?
Exactly. I have a copy of that book, by the way. That book is scary.
Yeah, it is.
I hope it doesn't get to that level, but actually I think it will get to that level. When you describe a solar flare that's so intense that rips through the atmosphere and, you know, comes down to the deck and literally fries a major section of the planet, That's the type of disaster you're looking at. So this, it would be similar to that, but in devastation. But in terms of the individual storms to reach that level before the actual pole shift, probably not. I think the worst thing that's going to happen is the meteorites and the CME blast from the sun.
Next up, let's go to our wild card line, Lee in Cleveland, Ohio. Hi, Lee. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was... It was some time ago on the History Channel, I believe it was. They had a program called Fire from the Sky.
Yes.
And there was a, I think it was here in the United States, but it was back in the 1800s where this whole city and this, all the landslide had burned up. And they didn't really get into detail exactly what had happened with it, whether it was a solar flare or whatever. But, you know, there's a whole monument. Plaque to the city, you know, indicating this back there.
Did you hear of this, Brent, at all?
No, I hadn't heard of that. Are you talking about the Chicago fire?
No, sir. No, this was something, I think it was like in the Midwest, because they had the Tunguska.
That was in Siberia in the 1900s.
Right.
Right. That on that program, and then I said this was, you know, they don't know if it was a meteorite, nothing actually hit the ground, but just all of a sudden this, like, wave of wind came in and just burnt this whole place to the ground.
Yeah, and you know what city was it? Do you know?
No, sir. I didn't catch the city.
Okay.
When I saw the program, I just happened to, you know, jump right there in there on that.
Okay, we'll try to track that down. Thank you.
Unfortunately, I didn't see that.
Linda in Canada, take it away. Hey, Linda.
Hi, George.
Hi.
My question for Brett is, you know, you're the closest one who's come to the truth about the Nephilim. And in Genesis, it does say that it was here before the flood and after the flood. I would like to know, do you think the Nephilim is the silent power that is still ruling to this day?
The Nephilim?
Right.
I don't believe that the Nephilim, as recorded in the ancient scrolls, actually are manifesting themselves in any sort of capacity on Earth today. The documents, I mean, the prophecies do show that they will make another appearance, but they don't indicate that they're here today. In fact, they have very specific characteristics that nobody on Earth has those characteristics as of now, as of right now. I can't go into the characteristics. That would be a whole other show. But I do believe that, you know, there is strong evidence that, you know, an intelligence existed before and after the flood. In fact, covered a lot of the Middle East, but I don't believe they're actually prevalent right now.
What do you look at more, science or prophecy?
Before, we were 100% science. We completely threw out prophecy, anything dealing with conjecture, prophecy, etc. But we have so exhausted the science aspect of it, and every bit of that, all the science, all dovetails together so perfectly. There's no need to look at science any further. So we have completely redirected all of our energies and efforts towards prophecy now. For example, we're coming across things that, even in modern day, the Roman Catholic Church has prophesied their own end. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, but in the 12th century,
Malachi.
Yeah, exactly. He actually wrote a series of the last 110 popes, 111 popes.
Mm-hmm.
We are at 111, and he predicts this is the end of the Roman Catholic Church. After this, there will be a person who will not be a pope. He will be called Peter of Rome, and in a very short period of time after that, it will be the, quote, the judgment of Christ. So, I mean, even that prophecy written, you know, hundreds of years ago, matches this end time that we're seeing today. Even though he didn't give dates to it, he gave the number of popes and their characteristics, every single one. And the characteristics of every pope from the day he wrote it does seem to match the characteristics of the pope that was reigning at that time, including this last one, Benedict.
Let's...
So, you know, these parallels are striking and they're fascinating. And so we're going into that direction. So our focus now will be prophecy.
Los Angeles we go, west of the Rockies. Hey, Victor.
Hi, good evening or morning.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm calling. I have some I guess, say some good information for the listeners, as well as I have in the final one, or I'll put this at the beginning of a question. The DM inscription by Nostradamus. He had mentioned something about he who despises me will have hell and purgatory, but he who praises me, I can't recall exact words. But that was the DM inscription is supposed to stand out as far as all the other prophecies as a mystery.
Hmm.
Does that sound familiar, the DM inscription?
Right. I do recall that, but we haven't looked into that. It didn't seem to be pertinent to what we were what our focus was.
Okay, now let's look at, this is the information, Planet X, okay? I would say that civilization, which we know Terra, this planet used to be called Terra, I would say it was more of a whole, as far as a whole structure, of more of a perfect planet than it is now, massive oceans, sat between Mars and Saturn. And now that's why we have a lot of pyramids on this planet, and the discovery of pyramids on Mars and civilizations, they're very similar. Now, let's just say we were well developing Nephilim, et cetera, and that's which is in the Bible during creation. Earth was Terra, and it was not here parked on the solar system, but it was parked between, like I said, Mars and Saturn. And interruptedly, here comes along the big disruption, the war that was going on in heaven. The disruption was the Nephilim on planet, I would say, Nerubu, or Planet X. And it obviously came very close and impacted Terra. We pretty much took a big chunk out of it as it passed through and exploded, obviously. But we knew it was coming.
That's how we probably got the moon, I would guess.
No, I'm going to get to that one. I don't say the moon had anything to do with it. The moon, like I think it was Hoagland was speaking of, it could be a parked satellite mm-hmm, that was mm-hmm. brought here. But however, and that's when the Earth took, Terra obviously took its toll and pretty much hurtled towards the sun, but we had to stop it. Basically, we are an advanced civilization, or you say the Anunnaki Nephilims were advanced.
Okay, I'm gonna have to get a question from you, sir. People are lining up behind you.
Okay, so basically, that's how that happened. So our pyramids were not built by, they were built by giants. And the statues you see are those giants, the pharaohs.
Well, a lot have theorized that. You're not alone in that one.
Yeah, so there's a lot coming down the pipe as far as, like you said, science is coming to a halt now. And the last thing, the planet is supposed to be, according to Ruth Montgomery, supposed to be at 25 degrees on its axis, tilting 25 degrees before it makes that final shift. So if there's some type of way of a gauge where they're looking at the degrees of the planet at the current time, 25 degrees is supposed to.
All right, but that's gradual. And Brent, you say this is going to be a little more dramatic.
It is going to be pretty much instantaneous, yes. It'll be, it'll be quick. And there's no way for us to predict, or no way if we, that we know how to predict where it's going to rest next.
Let's go to George in Manhattan. Hey, George, go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Fantastic. Absolutely brilliant. I've been listening a long time, but this is the first time that I'm so excited because I have degrees in geology and theology.
Ah.
And, long time ago, but I followed both, constantly with magazines and friends. No, this is brilliant. A couple weeks ago, I called a professor at the university where I got my geology degree, that's Columbia here in Manhattan. And I said, about this global warming, they're all saying it's all man-made. And he's supposed to be a professor in oceanography. And he said, yeah, well, that's what it is, so on. And then he hung up the phone. And then I realized, these people are run by grants. They don't tell you what they really think. It's just where the money's coming from. That's a big problem in America.
Yeah. Sometimes people are overly specialized as well. So if his specialty is not to focus on the CO2 in the atmosphere, he wouldn't know all the causes. So he, like anyone else, even though his specialty, he has a subspecialty in oceanography, what is it? Is it the continental shelves? Is mm-hmm. it the fish? Is it the sand? I mean, unless he is actually studying the CO2, our science is far too subspecialized. So he may not even have a clue.
Why haven't we investigated scientifically these underwater cities that you say submerged? And I mean, in depth. Go down there, look at the structures, and let the world know what they are.
You know what? We know more about the moon than we know what's at the bottom of our oceans. I mean, if you want to get a good idea, just a taste of what's at the bottom of our oceans, a Graham Hancock wrote a incredible book called Underworld.
Yes.
And, you know, that is an excellent book. He's a master diver, traveled around the world, documenting these. But of course, they weren't studied, and that's where a place I would start. But you can see, based on what his very simple research and just the divings that he's done, what he's uncovered is that, you know, it was a massive world devastation pole shift that caused this. There's just simply no other explanation. And what is so beautiful about the pole shift theory, and at this point we can't even call it a theory, because it explains almost all the major anomalies that we see around the planet. And Occam's razor has suggested that the simplest explanation is usually the right one. And this is a very simple explanation.
So true.
Regardless of how devastating it is, and it is so simple, and it explains all the missing pieces. Cataclysm versus slow migration and evolution, and it looks like, you know, our theory is actually, you know, unfortunately coming to fruition, and we do see that these events are happening so quickly and there's so little time left. We have to get beyond the science, and that's what we've done.
Let's go to Mike in Charleston, South Carolina. Go ahead, Mike, with your question.
Yeah, I've been in Bible prophecy for over 40 years. A lot of the things you have been talking about, I agree with, but scientists and theologians, Bible prophecy people are two of the different species, just like you got the monkeys and you got the animal, dogs, okay? And what you're talking about is true in one sense, but you're not really talking about the real truth that's out there, because under the Antarctic, the lava flows are actually what's melting the Antarctic. And people are not paying attention. They're saying it's the global warming. Well, 2,000, 3,000 years ago, it was a proven fact that the Earth had heated up one time before.
Even more so than now.
Yeah. And, I mean, so if somebody's going to go out there and tell somebody something, they need to get the truth. And see, the truth, what it says, the truth will set you free. And another thing, too, I admire you about what you know about Hebrew and everything. I don't know the language, but I do know this. And anybody and their brother can look it up. A person wants to know what's going on, it's Bible prophecy. Bible prophecies being even fulfilled as we even speak, because when they first set off the atomic bomb here in the United States, all the radiation and everything, every time we send up a space shuttle and break through the Earth's atmosphere, it messes up the weather all around the country. Just like when they, the Chinese sent up their three men up in the orbit, look at the way the weather changed.
Do you agree with that, Brent?
Well, I'm sure that mankind has done a tremendous amount to damage our planet. But, you know, in the overall scheme of things, I don't think that mankind, even though we tend to be arrogant enough to think that we can actually affect the entire planet's weather by doing minor things, I don't believe that is actually the case. And if you do look at, say, the ice core samples, for example, they do go back, two sets of ice core samples go back over 450,000 years, those from Greenland and Antarctica. Both of them show almost the identical temperature climate change patterns for the last 450,000 years psychically. So we do have a very good indication of the temperature of the planet, you know, decade by decade and for every 100 years, going back, you know, more thousands of years than we can count. And we do have a very good idea. Our models do show what causes these. Of course, they're only models. But I don't believe that mankind does have that much control. But you are right that we do a lot of damage to this planet, and there are a lot of things that we don't understand in science. And even just the mere fact that somebody calls himself a scientist doesn't mean they really know what's going on. Like I said, science is very specialized. You have to be more of a generalist and compare multiple fields simultaneously. And that was the whole purpose and foundation of our project that we started. And so that's why we're able to uncover these things, whereas scientists who specialize in their narrow niche don't see the big picture.
You know, Brent, with the work that you've done with the Horizon Project, when did it start and when will it end?
Well, I think it will end with the pole shift, quite frankly.
Yeah, perfect timing, right?
And I know that's why we've moved on to something more, you know, I think more important for us and mankind, the prophecy sections. But it started about 4 years ago, about 4.5 years ago, and it has been a world ride since, a roller coaster ride, and it has been very exciting and scary. The more we uncover, the scarier it gets, and we're now to the point where we really, truly want to know what is going on and why. And we're not going to find that in science. We know scientifically what happened in the past, what will happen in the future. But now we want to look beyond the science, and this is where we're going to find the answers, and this is what we should have started even earlier.
Indeed, know? Brent. Indeed, indeed. Hey, thank you for a wonderful, wonderful program. For Karis Coburn, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesure, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we shall see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.